Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm excited about tonight's message, although in all honesty, I'm excited about every message, right? Because the Word of God is good.
Amen.
And I've always thought that if you can't use the Word of God the next day, then what good was it preaching it the day before, right? I believe the Word of God is something that we should be able to have a part of and take into our hearts, take into our lives, and apply it.
Amen.
Come on. Is the Word of God real?
Yes.
Is it true?
Amen.
Is it for you?
Amen.
Okay, come on. Has it worked for you? Has the Word of God ever worked for you? Amen. It's worked for me over and over and over again. In fact, if it's not working, if my life isn't working, it's not because of the application of the Word. It's because of something in me that's not right, right? Because God, He's perfect. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 68. And we're going to be in Psalm 68 tonight. And I'm excited about it. I'm just really thrilled about it. Glad you're all here. Glad you're watching online. Hallelujah. And all of those that are suffering or whatever in sickness or whatever tonight online, we just pray over you right now in the name of Jesus. We command healing to come to your bodies. We command disease to leave your house. We just declare, Father, that you are going to sanitize those houses in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Listen to this first verse. It says, "Let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him." As I was studying this and I was pondering this, think about this for a minute. Let God arise. I was thinking about being a kid, you know. And if you were messing up and your dad had spoken to you a couple times, right? And I grew up with a lot of kids. I was the third oldest, and so I had two older brothers and sisters and all of that. And we'd be messing up at dad's, "Kids, quiet down." And that was all good. But if he ever got up out of the chair after he said something, you could see the kids scatter. Right? We don't want to suffer the wrath of dad, right? We don't want to. Here's another one that he used to do to us. "If you kids don't quiet down in the car, I'm going to pull this car over." Right? So it's kind of like if God arises, it means something's going to happen.
That's right. Yeah.
If God arises, the devil needs to tremble.
Amen.
Hello? And I just want to tell you tonight that we're living in a time when I believe God is getting ready to arise.
Amen.
Let me say that again. I believe that we're living in a time when God is about to arise.
Amen.
What does that mean? He's going to show himself strong on our behalf. Because really, in the minds of a lot of people in this country especially, God has taken a back burner. Christians are weird, right? And there's a lot of bad press going on. Well, I think God is coming to the place where, just a minute here, I got this. I'm going to arise. And when God arises, his enemies will be scattered. I just love that verse. Let God arise. Let me say that with me. Let God arise. Let God arise. Because when he does, the enemy will scatter. Right? Those who hate him will flee before him. Think about that for just a minute. Think about that from a perspective of there's a lot of people who have an opportunity to come to the Lord, but they've decided not to. There's a lot of people who said, "Yeah, I hear you saying this from the Bible. I think, you know, but I choose not to go that route."
Amen.
When, especially in the last days, we're going to read a little bit about that tonight, but in the last days, those who have constantly and completely rejected him, when he arises in his glory and in his light, and it's like they're going to, "Oh no."
Amen.
And they're going to scatter. We don't want to, you know, come under the influence of him. Watch this. Verse 2. I just love this. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so let the wicked perish in the presence of God.
Amen.
Think about those pictures.
Amen.
Come on, have you ever been in a place where smoke is driven away? Here's the analogy that I came. Do you remember in the summertime, in July and August and even into September, if there is a great forest fire going on anywhere, right, that smoke just settles over us. It's just choking us. It's our eyes are burning. All of that, it's just there. And what are we praying for? We're praying for either wind direction to change or for the rain to come.
Right?
At this time, at this place, I'm praying that God, the wind of God's Spirit, would come in and change the atmosphere of our nation. Hello? That He'd clear the smoke or deception that the enemy has gotten over all of those people that we love. Let me just get this out, that there's nobody that you see that seems to be anti-God that I'm against. Why? Because I think they're deceived. And I want that deception to be blown away so that they can see the light of the gospel. I was just, this afternoon, it's just, God is so good. I'm just wrapping up my day and I get the phone call. And the phone call was from a lady that I don't know. But she said, I was wondering if you would be in a prayer of agreement with me. And I said, well, yeah, you know, what's the prayer? Because I can't agree to something I don't know, right? So what's the prayer? And she said that she had two children, and she was an older lady, and her daughter was 55, and I think her son was 48, both addicted to drugs. Both grew up in the church. Both of them, he was baptized, you know, just came in and was on fire for God, and then life happens, right? And they're sucked into drug addiction.
Yeah.
Well, it's like when I was praying for her, I just felt impressed to say, look, we need their eyes to be open to the truth. We need to have laborers who can come across their path that can lift the smoke of the deception of what this is doing to them. And then send the laborers or even angels to them to show them what they must do to recover from that addiction. See, our nation, I mean, all of us have touched with it, so none of us are oblivious to the effect that drugs have had on our culture over the last 40 years, but specifically today, there's fentanyl, which is bad, right? The people on fentanyl, they'll take a sniff of that and then just, like this, put their head against the wall and just be there, zombies, right? But there's stuff coming behind that that's worse than that. So it's like one thing comes through and then another thing comes through and then another thing comes through. And the source of it all is Satan trying to steal people's minds. See, and so when I'm thinking about this, it's like, Lord, we need the air cleared. Our human effort, war on drugs, all of that, we've lost that.
Amen.
Right? That didn't work. Right? So we need something that's supernatural to come in and clear the air. So just like that forest fire, God, come on in and begin to clear the smoke so that people can see the true light and that the only answer is God. Are you with me? The smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As the wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Think about that for just a minute. Have you ever been in a situation where your candle or something got a little too close to the heater or whatever, and all of a sudden that thing is all melted down, the thing, you got to clean it off, and, you know, it's lucky you didn't have a fire, but it got too close to the heat and it melted in its presence. Well, see, when God stands up, You know, for the righteous, it's going to be cool. But for the unrighteous, the ungodly, and the enemy and his whole camp, that fire is going to be so consuming that it's going to melt them in his presence. Right? So we're praying, God, for the fire. We're praying for the wind, but we're also praying for the fire. Come, come, Lord. Come, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's like as the smoke comes and is driven away, the fire first, and then God's Spirit will drive it away. As the wax melts at the fire, let the wicked perish. Come on. The wicked are those whose hearts have been seared. You know, there are people that you know that used to be in church, that used to be walking after God, but their hearts have been seared. And you know what? I've found that a heart isn't seared just because it makes a choice to walk a little bit away. It's progressive. In other words, I make this little one, and then I make another little one, and then I make another little one, and then I make a look, and then all of a sudden, they're saying some things that are completely contrary to everything that the Bible lines up with. And we know people like this. We've had people in our church that have come out of this. And I just pray that God would expose their hearts to the light so that they could see how far they've gone away from God. Yeah. Glory to God. But he's able. Amen. I said, he is able. He is able. Verse 3 says, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Let them rejoice exceedingly. What does that mean? If God is standing up, we're rejoicing. Right? If Jesus is up in the sky calling us home, we're rejoicing. When that trumpet comes, hallelujah! Right? There's nothing here that I'm going to leave behind, right, that I'm going to hang on to, because I'm going to be with him forever and ever and ever. Here's what I'm saying. If we're walking with God, and if Jesus is Lord of our heart, and we're walking righteous before him, we have nothing to be afraid of at his appearance. Yeah. Right? If Jesus came walking into this room right now, if we're covered with the blood, we have nothing to be afraid of. Come on. That's so good. But there are those who absolutely need to be in terror at the holiness of God. Why? Because God's holiness cannot stand sin, period. Right? Now, I'll be honest with you, this has never happened in a meeting that I've been in, but I've been waiting for it, I've been praying for it, and believing for it, that not my presence, but God's presence is so thick in the room that sinners come in and they fall on their knees before God. Right? Why? Because they know if they don't, they sense the holiness or the presence of God. Why do we worship on Sunday morning? Why do we want an atmosphere where God's presence is? Because he's the answer to everybody's problem. And if somebody comes into the presence of Almighty God, then even the things in their heart that they've allowed through deception to come, it'll be exposed to that light. Not so that we can shame them, but so that we can see them set free. Amen. Right? I think it was Smith Wigglesworth. He was on a train in London or in England, because that's how they train all over Europe, especially back in those days. He was on a train and he had his New Testament out, was reading it. And this priest, I think it was an Anglican priest, came by and fell on his knees right before Smith Wigglesworth. He says, "My God, man, your presence convicts me of my sin."
Amen. Amen.
What was that? See, the anointing of God was inside of him. His presence was there. And when a man's heart is absolutely exposed to the presence of God, he has a decision to make. He either runs away from that presence or he runs to that and says, I need that presence to change me. Are you with me? So what am I saying tonight? I'm saying that these verses are not just a happy little thing that we can put song to, but when we start to take them apart, it's our objective to do whatever is necessary on our part to welcome the presence of God into our services, but into our lives, into our homes, right? One of the things that Renita and I have worked on our whole marriages is that our home will be a place of peace. And I can't tell you how many people have come to our house over the years and said, it's so peaceful here. And it wasn't because there was trees outside. It wasn't because, you know, the yard looked nice. It wasn't any of those things. It's because the presence of God abides in us. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but we know that the blood of Jesus has made us right with God, and therefore we have access to his throne, and his presence is welcomed wherever we are. See, and that's what I'm believing for. That's what I'm wanting. It's from a biblical standpoint, that's what I'm hoping for. Because a biblical definition of hope is a confident expectation of the thing that's promised will come to pass. It's one thing to believe God for your bills to be paid, and that's awesome, and he does it. He meets all of our needs. But it's another thing to believe God for his presence to be in man. Stand up, God. Let God arise in our church. Let God arise in our home. Invite God to begin to show up in a powerful way. Right? I'm believing that for here. I'm believing that for this church. I'm believing for this church, all of these pews to be filled and the overflow filled up and the back rooms all filled up, but not because they've come to hear this great orator speak and profound all these intellectual babblings. No, because God's presence is here. Right? And so those that are bound are free, not because we have 10 steps to get them free, but because God's presence is here. That the sinner will come in and run to the altar, not because I preach this great message, but because God's presence is in here and they cannot stand to be, oh, come on. Do you think that that's a foolish expectation? Do you think that's a foolish hope? I believe with all of my heart that God wants to arise in our hearts and in our lives. Hallelujah. Let's just look at a couple things. Let the righteous, those who've been made righteous by the blood and live righteously, be glad, rejoice, be merry. And I love this, that word, be glad. Listen to these definitions because I think it's really cool. Let them be glad. Let them rejoice. Let them be merry. Let them brighten up. Let them cheer up. Hello? Let those that have been made righteous begin to cheer up. Not because your circumstance changes, not because your body's not hurting, not because, you know, things aren't bad, but cheer up because the one who made you righteous is with you and he's standing up. Come on, he's beginning to stand up. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. What you have now is not what you're going to have if he stands up. Some of those people that you thought couldn't be saved will be saved. Right? Some of those people that you thought will never change, and you've been trying to get them to change and they haven't changed. If you let God stand up in your life, he'll cause them to have the chance to make the choice to get in or get out. Hallelujah. Look with me just real quick to Psalm 58. Psalm 58, and we're going to look at verse 10. Psalm 58 and verse 10. The righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Now, doesn't that sound a little heavy? But what it's really saying is, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. I'm not talking about people now. I'm talking about when God shows up and the people that we're believing for are delivered, we're going to delight in the fact that the enemy is lost. Yeah. Come on, and that the blood has produced freedom. Glory to God. Couple more. Go to Revelation, the book of Revelation, and we're going to start in verse 18. Revelation 18, and verse 20. Glory to God. How many know throughout the book of Revelation it's talking about the beast, and it's talking about this happens, and this bowl is poured out, and this judgment is coming, and this is all going to happen, right? It hasn't happened yet, but it's on its way.
Amen.
Right? But in chapter 18, it talks about when the angels come and they begin to do their thing. And look at verse, verse 20. It says, rejoice over her, O heaven, you and holy apostles and the prophets, for God has avenged you on her. It's talking about the beast. It's talking about the harlot. It's talking about everything that the enemy is arrayed. Rejoice over her, because here is the proof that what God has said is going to happen is going to happen. And you who have been persecuted, you who have been punished, you who have been made fun of, at the end of the day, you are going to be seen as the right one, because God is going to make sure that that happens. Rejoice, be glad. Come on. Okay, go to chapter 20, or 19. And again, someday I'll teach on all of this, but I don't have time to go through it all tonight. But you know, there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus and his bride, right? Look at this, it says in verse 7 of chapter 19, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his wife has been made herself ready.
Amen.
What does this say? When God stands up and he's going to wrap this whole thing up, there's coming a day when he comes to get his church. And when he comes to get his church for 7 years, there's going to be this celebration in heaven where the Lamb of, where the bride of Christ, that's you and me and all those that have gone on before us, are sitting around and we're having, but that marriage supper is coming. And all of those who've come to Christ can begin to rejoice and shout, and we can do that right now because his word is true. His word is, come on. Did you know that none of us have to fear dying?
That's right. Amen. That's
right. The only reason we don't fear dying is because we don't truly believe that we're saved. That God has really connected us to himself. Because if we believe that, then death wouldn't be no big deal. And watch this. When you're in God's presence, it's not. I'll tell you this story. Some of you have heard it before, but I have the mic so I can tell it again. I was going to Bible school, and I was working at 7-Eleven. And I worked from 11 o'clock at night till 7 in the morning, and I went to school. So, you know, that was my 5 days a week. So I'm working at 7-Eleven, and I'd been in the back room. We were talking about worship. And I've been reading this book on Let Us Worship. And I was worshiping God. I was in, you know, in the freezer doing some things and doing, but just worshiping God. All night I'd been worshiping. I was in the presence of God. So I'm standing over, and this is about 2 or 3 in the morning. I'm standing over by the coffee machine and cleaning and doing things and taking the nasty hot dogs that have been there for 6 hours and throwing them away and all that. I'm doing all this, and a kid came in. And I said, I'll be with you in a minute. And so, you know, he's over there like this, and I come up to the counter. I said, can I help you? And he goes like this, and he takes out a gun and puts it right here and says, give me all your money. So this is how much time I had to see that gun. Just this, you know. And so I'm really in the spirit. I'm really in God's presence at this point. And here's what I said to him. I said, are you going to rob me with a toy gun? Think about that for just a minute. Are you going to rob me with a toy gun? And his response was, try me. I'll blow your bleeping head off. And, you know, I didn't do anything. He didn't do anything for a second or two. And then he said it again. I'll blow your bleeping head off. Right over. Try me. I said, well, I guess I am. But here's the thought in the back of my mind. I swear to you, this is what I was thinking. Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Right? You can't kill a dead man. I mean, just my body will be on the ground, but I'm going to be with Jesus. Right? So, long story short, I said, well, this isn't doing anything. So I started to go around the counter. I don't know what I was going to do. But I went around the corner, and he took off. Right? But the point was, the presence of God was so thick in me that it caused the atmosphere around me to be different. It caught my fear could not even be in that atmosphere because I knew that God was with me. Let God arise in your life. Let Him arise in your thinking. Let Him arise in your faith because He's with you. He's for you. Glory to God. His presence is consuming. Let's go back to Psalm 68. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. I just have to tell you that I wasn't always like that working at 7-Eleven. Because about 2 months later, these two, they were 12 or 13-year-old kids, came with a stub-nosed .22 revolver. And they had it pointed at me and they were going like this. Well, I gave them anything they wanted at that point. They actually tied me up, duct taped me in the back room. And, you know, I didn't have as much peace that time because I really wasn't in His presence like I was before. It's so important to stay in His presence, to let Him keep standing. Amen? Hallelujah. Psalms 68, and let's go to verse 4. Sing to God, sing praises to His name, extol Him who rides on the clouds, by His name Yah, and rejoice before Him. A father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in His holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Oh God, when You went out before Your people, when You marched through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What I'm saying is that we have to have an expectation that God is with me. God is for me. God is coming for, He is with me, right? And so think about this, and now go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So again, There's a couple of things. God is going to rise up in the last day, and what he said is going to happen is going to happen. But I believe also that we by faith can walk in such a way that God will arise in our lives. But as long as we're focused on our problems, as long as we're focused on us, as long as we're focused on how bad things are, as long as we're doubting and not believing that God is with us, then he'll sit down. Come on. Because remember when Jesus was going to his own hometown? Yeah. And they said, who is this guy? Isn't this Joseph's son? And the Bible says that Jesus could do no mighty work in that place. It didn't say he wouldn't, it said he couldn't. Why? Because of their unbelief. Because of their not expecting that this man could do anything. And again, before you get too wrapped up in that, I can understand that a little bit. These are the same people that watched Jesus, run in the streets when he was a teenager. These are the same ones. That boy's a little odd, but, he's just Joseph's son. He's the carpenter's boy, right? But when he came back as the Messiah and made himself known that he was the anointed one and that he'd come to heal the sick and heal the brokenhearted and all of that, they said, oh, no, we can't see him as that. We see him as he was. So here's what I'm saying. I'm saying we've got to begin to see ourselves as we are in Christ rather than who we were before Christ. Amen. And some may see you that way and others may not see you that way. Some may accept the God in you and be drawn to it and some may not. So what do you do in those cases? Jesus said it really clearly. He said when you go into a house and you say peace to the house, if they receive you, stay with them. But if they don't, walk outside, dust the shake the dust off of you and go to the next one. Right? Don't get wrapped up on the misses. Start looking for the hits. Come on. All right. Romans chapter 8. Verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? What shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? Right? What shall we say to these things? What shall we say about our life? What shall we say about what we're going through? What shall we say about the circumstances that we're in? If God be for us, who can be against us? Is God for you? Come on, is God for you? Is God for you tonight? Well, I'm not sure if God is for me in my life. Is God for you tonight? He is, but you need to let his presence start to become more and more real to you and start believing that his presence is with you and begin to start saying some things. In the midst of what you're going through, you have to, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these circumstances? What shall we say to how I'm feeling? What shall we say to this bitterness? What shall we say to this unforgiveness? What shall we say to this doubt? What shall we say to these things, right? Yeah. If God be for me, it's not exactly what this says. But what I'm saying, if God be for me, then who cares what somebody else says about me? Who cares how anybody else looks at me? Who even cares if they kill me? If God be for me, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I mean, that was so real to me in that instant that there was no fear whatsoever. So what am I saying tonight? I'm saying that if we'll let God arise in our lives, there can be a peace that will walk with you outside of your circumstances. Again, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If you thought about this, put yourself in this verse. If God, who did not spare his own son for me, because Jesus died on the cross for me, the whole world, but I'm included in that and so are you. So I need to put myself in this picture. If God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for me, how much more shall he freely give me all things? So if there's peace to be gotten, he'll freely give it to me. If there's joy to be gotten, he'll freely give it to me. Come on. If there's provision that's needed, he'll freely give it to me. If there's a mansion that's waiting in heaven, he'll freely give it to me. Whew, glory to God. Glory to God. If God before us, who can be against us? Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? For it's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also written, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now listen to this. Shall tribulation? Nope. Distress? Nope. Persecution? Nope. Famine? Nope. Nakedness? Nope. Peril or sword? See, when we're in the midst of those things, as Paul was, I mean, he was constantly, you know, shipwrecked, beaten, all of those things. He was constantly that. But if God before him, see, when he was in the midst of those things, he had to be saying, if God before me, who shall be against me? Come on. Let God arise in your heart. Let faith in who he is and what he said start to take over in your heart and in your mind so that peace can be the result. So that you can live your life here on earth but not be affected by the circumstances. Because your true identity is not here, it's in heaven. You're already seated there with him in heavenly places. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. I wasn't going to go here, but I feel impressed to go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Glory to God. And let me find the verse here right quick. Hallelujah. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Yeah. Did you know that Jesus was your high priest? He's the one that presented the blood before the throne of God that was accepted and for eternity is saying that you're clean. That you're clean, that you're righteous, that you've been made whole. But this says you have to hold fast to your confession. Why? Because there's somebody trying to steal it from you. Right? And it might not just be the devil. It might be doubts that come to your mind. You have to hold fast to what? Your confession. What is a confession? It's something that you say that's in agreement with what God has done. Jesus is my high priest. Devil, if you're telling me that I'm not holy, you take it up with him. Because I'm holding fast to the fact that he who knew no sin became sin for me. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting. I didn't come into the world to contemn the world, but that the world through me might live. That's mine. That's my confession in agreement with what he said. When? All the time. In the midst of my depression, in the midst of my trial, in the midst of everything going wrong, I can either confess about my high priest, or I can begin to praise what the devil has done in my life. Let God arise in your mouth. Let God arise in your thoughts. Let God arise. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. Come on. What does that mean? Listen to what this is saying. Has anybody in here gone through some things? All of us have. All of us. But listen to what this says. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. What does that mean? Everything that you've gone through, he went through. In fact, to a greater degree. For we don't have a high priest who doesn't understand what we're going through, who doesn't sympathize or empathize with the plight and understands the pain and the suffering and the things that we don't like. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Let us, verse 16, let us, therefore, come boldly. Let us, who's us? Tonight, who's us? All of us. Let us come boldly. Boldly before the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We need God to arise, but we also need to arise from our position of weakness into his presence, because in his presence we're going to find the help that we need. Is that good? It's so awesome. How do I get there? What's coming out of your mouth? Are you talking more about God and what he's done for you, or more about what others or the devil's done to you? Listen. Paul said it this way, and I mean, how he could even say this was beyond me. He said, these light afflictions that I've suffered, and he's just listed all the I've never been beaten with a whip that has leather on it with iron and bone at the end of it. I've not been whipped with one 39 times save one. And he said at least three times whipped like that. So could you imagine the scars on his back? Can you imagine just how ripped up that was? Can you imagine? I mean, he'd been shipwrecked. He'd had his own countrymen, and all he was trying to do was to get them to their Messiah, and they threw him in jail. In fact, they had a plot to kill him. But God had a plan for him to go to Rome. He's saying, all these light afflictions that I've suffered are nothing. Nothing. Compared to. See, that's where we got to get into it. What are we comparing ourselves to? Are we comparing ourselves to the plight that we're in now? Or who we are now and who we're going to be when he appears? Are you listening to me? So it's kind of like, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. But watch this, as long as you're wrapped up into the struggles that you're going through and you don't have your head in the throne room, the struggles that you're going through are going to overwhelm you. But if you get into His throne room where your help is, and you get into His presence, they can hold a gun to your head. And you can say, well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Because His presence is more real than what you're seeing, feeling, tasting, or touching right now. Glory to God. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. I love that. Not to the throne of judgment. Not to the throne of condemnation. Because of Jesus, because He's our high priest, we can go boldly to the throne room of grace. What does that mean? That means God's riches at Christ's expense are mine. And I can go to that throne room anytime and begin to take off of that throne room what I need at the present time. God's grace is Him giving you what He wants to give you, not based on you, but based on Him. He's given me His peace. He's given me His love. He's given me His joy. He's given me everything that I have need of. He's given me a relationship with Him that I don't deserve. He's given that to me, and I can come boldly to Him anytime because I'm coming in the name of the high priest who once and for all stood up for me, and He's now making intercession for me. That blood is constantly interceding on my behalf. So it's so good. It's so good. So tonight, as I'm closing, I want you to know that it's time for God to arise in your heart. It's time for God to arise in your life. It's time for God to become paramount in your thinking. How do you do that? By constantly talking about how good He is and how He's for you and how He is going to be for you for eternity. Glory to God. Did you get something tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. I thank You for all of those that are watching online. God, let this anointing that I'm sensing in this room just penetrate into their hearts and minds. Let those who are struggling tonight be encouraged and say with your mouth, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my helper. Jesus is my comforter. Jesus is my high priest. Jesus is with me. God, Father, thank You for arising in this place. Father, I just bless them right now in Jesus' name. I ask for the healing power of Your word. You said that You sent Your word and healed them. And Lord, I just thank You for doing that. I give You all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just ask Him to come into your heart. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. God has raised Him from the dead, and you'll be saved.